study, we see that there was a great crowd that had gathered. These people had come for the wrong reason. Jesus, when he saw them, knew that they were following him, according to verse 2, because they saw him work miracles. And they were following him like we would follow a magician. They wanted to see him do some tricks. They wanted to see him perform some miracles. That isn't why you follow the Lord. I get amused at these faith healers on the television. They've got that crowd that follows them, gives them millions. They buy jet airplanes and make fun of their followers. But they follow them hoping to see a magic trick. I got to tell you, if I want to see a magic trick, I'll watch Benny Hinn get a haircut. That's about the only thing I could get out of that rascal. He's a fake. But he's one of those magic makers, you know, and it's funny to watch him. But anyway, I used to watch Benny Hinn. Did any of you ever see Benny Hinn? He said, "Be healed!" You know, and it was got a little spooky. Stephen, one day, my youngest one, he was only about this high. He came in to me and he said, "Dad, be healed!" And I said, "That's the end of Benny Hinn and this house. That's all he is." But that's why they were following Jesus. They wanted to see that magic done. He lifted up his eyes and he saw this great company of people. I'm not a people person, really, at heart. If we go to a party and I happen to get there, look over in the back corner. And I'll be sitting over there in the chair watching everybody else. I don't know what it is. I think it might be my farm background. I cut my teeth on the steering wheel of a John Deere tractor. And so I don't mix that well. But anyway, he saw this big company coming. If you read this story in Mark chapter 6, and it's very clear in Mark chapter 6, it says, the disciples said, "Lord, it's late, and here's all these thinking people. Tell them to go home." Seriously, that's what he said in the book of Mark. I said, amen. You know, crowds will make you feel funny. When I pull off of the 17 freeway, I'm always relieved to get off of 17. But I turn on to 101. And if I get on 101 after 3 o'clock, it's a parking lot. And I look at all those people and I say, "Lord, tell them to go home." And he says, "That's where they're headed. Just be patient." But the disciples said, "We haven't got any food for them. And send them home so they can find their own food." But Jesus looked at them, and the Bible says he had compassion on them. And I enjoyed studying what compassion is. It's love in action. It's easy to say, "I love you." But compassion is the fruit of love, and love is giving of yourself to meet needs in others. For God so loved the world that he gave. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Jesus looked on the multitudes and was moved with compassion. Thank God for the compassion of our Savior Jesus Christ. He looked down from heaven one day and saw a little scrawny farm kid walking down the bean rows. And he had compassion. And at the age of 14, he saved my soul. Thank God he did. One day he looked down at you. And if you've been born again, he had compassion. He wanted to get involved with your need. And so when I saw this passage in Mark, was reading the companion text, the compassion of our Lord was overwhelming. I remember flying into Korea the first time. I looked out the window of that 747. That's back when they were brand new airplanes. And I saw all those people. Millions and millions. They all looked just alike. They all had the same flock of hair. The same facial features. And I looked at them and I thought, "Brother Pack, how in the world would you win 40 million Koreans to Christ? I didn't even know how to talk their language." So I went to the Lord and I said, "Lord, I got a problem, man. I've come all the way over here. I brought my family. I don't know what I'm doing." He said, "Well, you might just do what we did in the Bible." So I said, "That's a good idea." So I began to study and I realized the local church was God's institution for evangelism. for baptizing, for teaching. And I read this story. And I said, I know how we can win them all. I'll train just a few. Jesus trained 12 disciples. And it wasn't long until they were accused of turning Jerusalem upside down with the gospel. Later, it was all Judea upside down with the gospel. And even later, the Bible says they turned the world upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. 12 well-trained men. I've been around long enough to know everybody is not a worker. Wish they were. But 20% usually do 80% of the work. And the other 80% does 20% of the work. Same is true in giving. Wish it weren't that way. But today I want you to become one of the 20%. Let the other 80% go down the street to a church. Jesus asked Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? That means where in the world are we going to get enough food to feed them? Have you ever looked out at the ministry of this church and wondered, how in the world are we going to reach this area with the gospel? And immediately dollar signs begin to appear in your eyeballs. And somebody with great faith says, 200 penny worth wouldn't even give all of them a little bit. I looked up that penny worth. It's kind of hard to find anything solid on it, but one book said a penny worth was the Roman coinage. And when it was first started, it was the same price as a burro, a donkey would sell for. That was the common denominator of their coinage. Well, as time changed, the coinage got devalued, and we understand that because of our dollar. But it didn't amount to that much by the time of Christ. But he said if we had 200 of them, wouldn't be enough to give everybody food to eat. And Jesus knew what he was doing. And then Andrew said, there's a boy here. A lad is just a young boy. And he's got a lunch. And in that lunch, it's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Boy, there are so many things on this. Here was this boy. He said, Mama, I'm going to go see Jesus. I think he's going to perform some tricks today, and I want to watch him. His mama said, okay, but son, you're going to need something to eat. We don't have much, but I can give you 5 of these little barley loaves and 2 of these old nasty fish. He said, boy, that's great. So he put them in his brown paper bag, and he was clutching that sack as he went to see Jesus perform a trick. All of a sudden, he was surrounded by a throng of people, 5,000 plus men, women, and children. And he began to look around and say, boy, I had better hide my lunch. But you know, all those people got to eat because that young man gave what he had. And he gave it to the right person. John Rice wrote a song called Little is Big When God is in It. Just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But Jesus could have fed him out of nothing. But he took the boy's loaves and fishes. And I was reminded of Elijah being up on the mountain, and our preacher talked about this the other night so well. And God fed him by the brook. But then he said, I want you to go to Zarephath. I have prepared a widow to take care of you. It was a humbling experience. She was a widow woman with a son. And when the preacher showed up, he had been up on the mountain eating well. He was fat and happy. She was skinny and getting ready to die. And when the preacher walked in and said, "Look, you ought to give that oil and meal to me," everything in her being cried out, "No." It's all I got. And I'm just getting ready to cook it and feed my son. And then we're going to die. Did you know if she had done what she planned, what she would have done? She would have died. But in obedience to Elijah, she made him a little cake. And the cruse of oil and the barrel of meal never ran dry, because she gave it as God had promised. Let me tell you something. Normally, now thank God for those who are able to give big gifts. I never want to talk you out of that. But normally the work of God is taken care of by those of us who give sacrificially. The widow at Zarephath to Elijah. Think of the parable of the woman who gave her mite, the widow's mite. Did you know that the Bible says she gave everything she had? And though it was just one mite, Jesus said she hath given more than you all. Now that isn't because of the size of the gift. That's because of the recipient of the gift. But there's another thing. The boy had to be obedient. But there was that group of 5,000 men and their women and kids that were with them that had to remain. Don't you know that by this time some had already said, what's the use? I'm going home. It's getting late. I think I'll just leave. I don't like it anyway. Those 12 disciples, they think they're big shots. And Jesus, he thinks he ought to be king. They packed up their duds and stomped off. They didn't get to get full. Be careful what you leave. You might leave just before the master starts to break the bread. The little boy gave his lunch. And the minute that Jesus heard there was a little boy there with a lunch, he said to the disciples, "Make the men sit down." Now, I don't know about you, but if you had 5,000 Jews up on the side of a hill with their wives and kids, how much luck do you think you'd have telling them to sit down? I think that's an impossible task. But Jesus said, "Make them to sit down." And they sat down. I had an experience one time in Korea. We were having a citywide revival meeting in the city of Mokpo. It's way down in the south of Korea. They had never had a gospel preaching church in Mokpo when I went down there. The city dated back 3,000 years. And there were 300,000 people there then. It's grown bigger since. But we said, "We're going to have an I Love Mokpo meeting." And we went to the mayor's office. And I took a group of singers from my church in Long Beach. And boy, we went over there in force. And we got a royal welcome. So they opened the civic auditorium to us. The civic auditorium would seat about 1,000 people. So I thought that was plenty big enough. And the church people worked like Trojans and said, "All these Americans have come. They're going to put on quite a demonstration for us." And so they opened up this place. Man, I got up there the first night. I looked out and they had taken the chairs and put them against the wall. And people were sitting on the floor back. I mean, their knees were against the people in front of them. And I looked, and the emergency exit had a chain and a padlock on it. And I thought, there isn't any way you could unpack this building in an emergency. It's going to be hard enough without an emergency. I got up to preach, and I preached my heart out. And it scared me because when I gave the invitation, there was such a rush of people come forward to getting saved that they came clear up on the platform and had me back against the wall. We had hundreds, except Christ the Savior, had a great church started in Mokpo. But I remember saying so many times, sit down and be quiet. Just please, sit down. I couldn't get them all to ever sit down. They were milling around, talking out loud. They'd never been in anything like that before. My heart went out to these 12 disciples. Had over 5,000 Jews on the side of a hill outside. And Jesus said, tell them to sit down. Funniest thing happened. I started preaching, and a holy hush fell on that crowd. It got as quiet as a morgue. And it was because the Holy Spirit of God moved into that place and took control and quieted the hearts. And the people listened intently. And the throng came forward to be saved. But it was not because of the American preacher. It was not because of the singers. It was because the Holy Spirit of God began to move in hearts. And I got to tell you, when we're obedient to the command of God, whether it's to give the lunch, or whether it's to stay and listen, or whether it's to help people to find a place to sit, brother, when God's people are obedient, the Holy Spirit of God does His work. Jesus took the loaves. And when He had given thanks, He distributed not to the people, but to the disciples. There's a great lesson in this. Jesus, according to verse 11, distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. This is New Testament evangelism. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? We possess the bread of life. And God wants us to share that bread with the multitudes. And He gives it to us. And says now, go feed this starving nation. Your city is dying of hunger. Take the bread of life and give it to them. I've given it to you freely. I've given it to you because I love you. But now I'm depending on you. You say, really? God depends on me? Yes. As a matter of fact, I'll turn there. You don't need to. It's in 2 Corinthians. I had it marked. See, I cheated a little bit. But it's right here. Therefore, for any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Wow. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. In other words, God has commissioned us to take the bread and the fish and minister it to those that are in need of Jesus Christ. If we don't, who will? We who claim to have the truth. I got to tell you, I love this church. Your kindness to me at this time through which I've gone and am going has been unbelievable. The cards of encouragement. So many of you have been so kind with your verbiage. I love the warmth and the love that I feel in this church. But that isn't what it's all about. The world's going to hell while we're sitting here kissing each other. Not good. We ought to be concerned about those who have no breath, lost and on their way to hell without God, having no hope and without God in this world. And God said, tell them to sit down and then give them the bread. And by the way, not a stingy portion. For the Bible said they ate as much as they would. That means they ate all they wanted. And then the next verse says, and they were filled, they got full. I've got to tell you, there's only one bread that will fill you up and make you thrilled from now to eternity. And that's the bread of life, Jesus Christ Himself. What a wonderful thing to know the Lord. To have that satisfaction. I, of course, am a little bit preoccupied with my mother's passing. I love my mother. Last Sunday, I got up and started to call her on the telephone. I didn't remember she was in heaven already. It had been such a habit every morning I'd get up and call my mama. I got up to call her. I didn't place the call because I remembered before I did. But it was kind of a rude awakening. But she talked so much about going to heaven. The day before she died, she pulled me down and whispered. She couldn't talk clear, but she whispered in my ear. She said, Larry, I'm going to heaven. And that is a happy, happy thought. I said, Mama, that's wonderful. That you can be on death's doorstep and know it, yet say, that's a happy thought. I'm going to heaven. Everybody that knows the Lord ought to have that filled to overflowing in your life. Glory to God, I get to go to heaven one of these days. Now, I'm not going to get on the next busload. But anytime God's ready, He can help Himself. I'm not scared about it, and I'm excited about it. I have to admit, I'm not in any hurry for it, but when it comes, I'll go. And I'll be thrilled to go. Why? Because I'm filled with the bread of life. I have been offered and I have taken from a disciple. I was 14 years old and went to a Bible camp up in the mountains above Ouray, Colorado. Has anybody here ever been to Ouray, Colorado? Oh, here's some that have. Good. Beautiful, isn't it? 4 miles out of Ouray is the Camp Bird Mine. Just before you get to Camp Bird Mine was a campground. And we went up there for a Bible camp. There was a man out of Northwestern College in Minneapolis, Minnesota, by the name of Steve Sonmore. He became a missionary to the Philippines. But the last night of camp, we had a campfire service. And everybody was throwing their stick in the fire and saying what God had done. I had a stick in my hand, but God hadn't done anything for me. And I didn't feel good about how things were going. I went to Steve, and I said, Steve, I think I need to get saved. He said, well, Larry, let's talk about it. We leaned over the hood of a brand new 1953 Chevy. I'll tell you the date a little better. Leaned over the hood of that car, and he led me to Jesus Christ. He, a disciple, led me, a hungering soul, to the bread of life. And I partook. Steve got an intestinal disease over in the Philippines and had to come home. And he was the head of the missions department at what then was Southwest Baptist College here in Phoenix. It's now the Arizona Christian University. But he was here. He still lives here. But I'll thank God for him until the day I go to heaven. He said, sit down. Let's talk. after they were all filled, Jesus said, there's one group that's still hungry. Guess who that was? The disciples. And I love how God works, because He's not a God of waste. He's not stingy. And He always meets the need and goes beyond. Now in Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we might ask or think. But He said, tell you what I want you to do, fellas. I want you to go pick up all of the extra. And they went out, and guess how many baskets there were? 12 baskets. How many disciples were there? If you take care of God's work, God will take care of your work. I saw that and it just thrilled my heart. I said, oh God, not only did you meet the needs of the entire multitude, but you took such gentle care of those faithful disciples. And by the way, when that night was over with, guess who was the most blessed? Those who were serving, not those who were served. Our time is about expired, but there's so much more in this story. But please hear me. The story came about because Jesus wanted to teach His disciples. He didn't want to teach His disciples about fish and bread. He wanted to teach His disciples about His own deity. He was going to take 5 loaves and 2 little fish, and He was going to feed 10,000 hungry Jews. He was going to sit them down in companies on a hillside. And He was going to have 12 disciples distribute to them all they could eat. And He was going to use it as an illustration. And by the way, those 12 disciples were the same ones that turned the world upside down with the gospel. Because they saw, they received from the Master, but not just to have it spoil. They received that they might pass it on. We've got Daily Vacation Bible School coming up. That's one of the greatest times of soul winning in the life of our church. Wouldn't you like to win some to Christ? I would. Thank God for a faithful grandmother that said, I won my grandson to the Lord a month ago, just this morning. My wife was one of the greatest soul winners I've ever known. She's got missionaries and pastors' wives and preachers all over the world that she's won to Christ. And I've often thought, what it would be like when she goes to heaven. The multitudes that will be there because of her. She didn't just take the bread of life and say, it's mine. What you do with yours is your business. No, no, no. I got on an airplane one time and turned to the guy next to me. I said, by the way, let me ask you a question. Are you sure you're going to heaven? He said, no, neither are you. I said, well, I thought I was. He said, you must really think you're something. I said, no, I know I'm nothing. But Jesus Christ is everything. We had quite a lengthy conversation. He never got saved. But the joy of being able to offer, whether He takes or not, has nothing to do with me. My job is to make it available to Him. Will you? You say, well, preacher, I'm not sure I've ever partaken myself. Well, it's about time you scooted up under the table and received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Why would you choose to go to hell when God offers you salvation so freely? Doesn't make sense. And so if you've never by faith accepted Christ as Savior, this morning is the time. But if you have, I sure would like for you to commit your life to be one of the 12. Roll up your sleeves and let's feed the multitudes the bread of life.